On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came on your smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, don't make a big deal out of it.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Hey, how you doing? It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. No. No. Oh, God. Thanks for stopping by. It's a pleasure to have you here. Make yourself comfortable. Take your shoes off. Oh, no. Put them back on. Whoa, man. Take a shower. Thank you so much for being here. You are a wonderful person by virtue of the fact that you even came over today. You're wonderful. Your life must have meaning now. Welcome to the program. If you've never been here before, okay, so, not a big deal. But there's a large but involved. We do have rules and regulations on this program, and I'll tell you why. Because if you don't follow the rules and regulations, then we can't do the program. Nobody is above the law, huh? Huh, Don?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home. Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day. But even then, please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
Now that's the disclaimer. I hope you were listening. Now I'm going to ask you to sign the papers because without you signing the disclaimer, it would not be effective. So before we go any further, I just ask you to sign here and over here. Initials here. And initial over here. All right, let me just see. Okay, and sign here. Do you agree? Party of the first part, party of the second part, and there's no sign. Just sign right there. Okay. That part where it says that you can, legally, I can take your firstborn child, strike that. I don't want your firstborn child. Just sign that. You keep your firstborn child. I'm not interested. Okay, now, last page. Are you of sound mind? Obviously not, but sign anyway. And initial this. And initial this. And let me bend over. Okay, kiss this. And initial this. And sign this. As it is. Simon says. I just like crinkling paper. I can't help it. I love to crinkle. All right. Last night were the Emmy Awards. I don't know if the 72nd, 73rd, 74th, 75th. I have no idea. And I was brought up on television. Not literally, not physically on top of the TV set, but I watched television since I was a fetus, actually. So I'm really into television, and I always start to watch the Emmy Awards, which are the awards for television performances voted on by their own people. So it means absolutely nothing whatsoever. But I watch it because I'm part of the TV thing. I mean, I just, you know, I've just grown up with the TV thing. A lot of people, I met this woman about a month ago. And we were talking, and we started talking about television. And she says, "Well, I don't know much about it. I don't own a TV set." I said, "Excuse me, you don't own a TV set?" "No, I don't watch TV. I listen to things, but I don't watch television. I don't even own one." Get out of my planet! You are so foreign to me. Now we can no longer have a conversation. No sex. I can't deal with that. I don't understand who you are. But anyway, there's one part of the Emmy Awards that really depressed me. And I try to fall asleep before this segment comes on the show. About 2 hours into the show, the segment happens, and it makes me so sad that I can't sleep. And that's when they honor the people that passed away during that previous year. In memoriam, they call it. They always get a really sad performer who can do sad things. You know, it's like that. It's like that commercial with the dogs that look really skinny and haven't eaten and are abused and all that. And Melissa Manchester, I believe her name is, she sings this really sad song, and you are manipulated into giving them money because it is such a sad thing. I can't watch those commercials. Well, this is the same reaction I have when I find out the celebrities, the television show people that I grew up with no longer exist. They're always there on the TV, you know, in various TV shows, but they no longer are alive. And it makes me feel very, how can I put this tastefully? It makes me realize that that's not good. Here are the people that passed last year television-wise. I don't know all of them because some of them are television producers and writers, and we don't really know them when we watch television. We only know the people that are acting. Betty White, of course, passed this past year. David Warner, Peter Scolari. He was the comedy partner there with Tom Hanks on that crazy TV show that I never watched. Burt Metcalf, Jay Sandridge, many of the greatest situation comedies he produced and directed. Dwayne Hickman, I mean, you have to be kind of older to know who he was. The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis. Tony Dow, Beaver's brother, oh my God. Howard Hesseman, WKRP in Cincinnati was the name of the show that he was on. Amy Lynn Johnson. Robert Morris, Broadway stage actor. Bernard Shaw. David Arnold, Estelle Harris. A lot of you don't know these names, I assume. John Madden, he was a sports announcer and a football player. Vin Scully, a veteran of sports announcing. Bob Saget, the comedian, you know what happened to him. Apparently he was doing a comedy tour at a hotel or a club or something, and he knocked his head on something, went to bed, and never woke up. I mean, oh my God. James Caan, famous actor. Gilbert Gottfried, famous comedian. Voiced a lot of cartoon character things. Dean Stockwell. Michael Nesmith from the Monkees. He's gone. Louis Anderson, a great comedian, he's gone. Anne Heche, what happened to her? She's gone. Paul Sorvino, Ray Liotta, and Sidney Poitier, who was very instrumental in things beyond television. But then there were those that passed that weren't a part of this segment. By the way, they got John Legend to do the sad song. That always works. John's good for that. I know. Pat Carroll, she was on many of the shows in the 50s and 60s, voiced some cartoons as well. She had passed this past year. Larry Storch, F Troop, he's gone. Charles Siebert was a character actor. I think he played a doctor on one of those situation comedies. Norm MacDonald, the comedian. Scoey Mitchell was a comedian from back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. He passed last year. And, of course, Olivia Newton-John, but she didn't really do television that much. She made appearances on television and sang a few songs, but, you know, television was not what she was really known for. So she was not included, and some people were kind of upset. Get over that. It just, you know, when you grow up and you have these constants around you where you watch their show every week or you see them in reruns almost every day, now you can stream everybody anytime you want, including myself. When these things that surround you start to drop away, it kind of takes time and kind of changes it a bit, and all those standards and foundations start to crack a little bit, start to fall away. So I did. Anyway, that's it. How are you though? I'm concerned about you. Okay. All right, that's enough. I have trouble watching those segments. They do it on the Academy Awards too, the Oscars. I have trouble watching my foundation just fall out from under me. Yeah, it's a problem. It's too painful to watch.
It was unbelievably painful.
Yeah, amen, amen. All right. You know, it's funny. The movies are funny. I don't watch a lot of movies. I watch a lot more TV than I do motion pictures. I have a problem when I watch movies on the big screen. If they're really popular celebrities and actors and whatever, I have a problem separating them from the characters that they're playing because they are so prominently well-known. I do. Do you remember that movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith? It was about pies that they make for Thanksgiving. No, that wasn't it. They were two espionage kind of agents and, you know, killers, and they both were, and they started to go after each other. And you remember that movie? You remember that, don't you? With Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, two of the most attractive and popular people at the time that that movie was made, about 10 years ago, something like that. Well, I watched the movie in a movie theater, and through the entire thing, it was like, why is Brad trying to kill Angelina? Because they were actually married at the time when they made that movie, or at least they were in hot sexual lust. I mean, sexually, men would lust after Angelina Jolie, and women would lust over Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. So, yeah, it was, yeah. But I had trouble watching that movie because I could not separate the fact that it wasn't, you know, like the characters are just like, they're not playing characters. That's Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. I couldn't get beyond that. I couldn't do it. It was a problem, and it ruined the entire thing for me. Same thing. There's a movie called The Peacemaker with what's his name there? George Clooney. George Clooney is a very popular actor, another one of these attractive shits. And, I had a problem with that movie because I'm watching a movie and I'm watching George Clooney doing things. And it's, no, he's not George Clooney. He is playing the title role of the Peacemaker. he goes around the world and tries to correct horrible problems. Another espionage kind of film. And at the same time, no, that's George Clooney. I'm sorry. No, well, George Clooney, George, stop running around so much. You're going to be out of breath if you run around, George. I could not accept him as a character. He was George Clooney. Now, when you go to the movie theater and you don't, and this someone is in it who is not a big time celebrity, who you really don't recognize, or it's the first time they've been on a big screen production or something, then you really think that person is the character because you don't know who they are otherwise. And you can very easily get into that movie, and you can very easily believe that there's the character, there's the guy in it. He is the character. Is this a documentary? Is that really him? I don't know who he is otherwise. That I get into. When it's a famous performer, I sometimes just can't. I can't. I know your mind is supposed to just forget who the celebrity is, and your mind is supposed to adjust to the character they're playing. I can't do that. You're putting their face on a gigantic screen. By the way, I hope I never am a movie actor. I'm sure that's not going to happen. But please, do not take a close-up of my face and put it on a big screen. I don't need my face to be like four stories tall in front of strangers. No. That's why I never wanted to. TV's okay because TV screens are fairly small in the scheme of things. Your face is really no bigger than it really is in real life on a TV screen. But in a movie theater, no. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't need a big head like that. That's one of the. When they do a close-up of somebody, I always cringe. I go, ooh, whoa, that's a little too close. Now back off. I don't want to be that close to anybody's face. That's too close. Even when I'm talking to them face to face, their faces still aren't as big as they are on a movie theater screen. That's too big for a face. Close-ups should be illegal. And actors, I can't imagine an actor saying, whoa, look at the pores on my skin. Whoa, wow, look at that pimple there. See, they put makeup on you, so you look perfect for the close-ups. Oh, they have makeup artists. They're just not makeup people who splash makeup on your face. They are artists. They are artistes. So they cover up everything. That's why models look so good. Models don't look good. I've talked about this before. Some of the most beautiful models are. They're okay looking, but without makeup. Whoa! Christy Brinkley. Ellen Pompeo. I don't even know her last name. Pompeo? I have no idea. But these really supposedly highfalutin models, not actors. Some of them act too. But these models, they don't look like that really. They're painted. They are canvases where a makeup artist creates a painting. There are many layers to the painting as well. It's like paving a driveway. First you need to lay the foundation. Then you need the covering. Then you splash in the details with the paint. That's what they are. If you go online, there are a couple of sites where they show you what the models look like without makeup. They're still quite attractive and very pretty, but nothing like what's in your head. No, they don't really look like that. A few of them might, but most of them don't. And I've talked about this so many times before, but it always comes around to it again. I feel so bad for women, for the most part, because they, when they go out in public, that means when they leave the apartment or the house at all for anything, they have to paint their faces. They have to accentuate their eyelashes, their eyebrows, their lips. They have to cover the pimplets. Oh, my God. You got to. It's so sad that you can't be yourself. Men, no. Nothing. And psychologically, you see, when you see a man inside a house or outside of a house, they look exactly the same. Your expectations are obvious. But when it's a woman, for the most part, not everyone, but most of them, you're seeing the fixed-up, painted version of them. It's unfortunate, and I know women have babies, and they go through that, and I can't imagine that, but every day painting your face? Oh, my God. And some women literally look like circus clowns, and they think they look good. Oh, no. Remember Tammy Faye Baker? I don't know if you're old enough. You're a millennial. You don't know who the hell I'm talking about. She was the wife of Jim Baker. They were these gospel kind of preachers, and they were kind of phony about it. You know, send them money, and they'll send it to God because God's running a little short on cash. I have no idea how that worked. But they were, you know, they were just evangelists, you know, they gave it a bad name. Tammy Faye, like, she wore so much makeup that when she cried, she looked like, oh, man, she looked like Rudy Giuliani giving a speech. It was very embarrassing, very embarrassing. The mascara would run down the side of her cheeks, and, it was awful. It was just awful. It was a very bad clown act. So I, you know, it's one of the many reasons why I respect women, because... because of what they go through. And then there are the high heels. Don't get me started with that. Men do not wear high heels. That would be excruciating. I could never wear high heels. Cramming my foot into something at a downward 70-degree angle? No, thank you. No, thank you. But they do this. Women wear high heels in the very situations in which they want to be most impressive. Cocktail parties and outings and things like that, where you really can't walk in those damn things. And those are the places where you want to be able to walk the best you can. Oh, it's awful. Clown makeup, high heels. Why do you do this to yourself? Why are you doing this? Don't you know that women are naturally more attractive than men? Don't you know that? What are you doing? What are you doing to yourself? All right. That's enough. That'll be enough. My guest is going to join us momentarily. But before we do that, someone's got to pay for this, and it's not going to be you, apparently. So, there's this for you.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, oh, look at the time? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
Morning, Ron.
Hi, Amanda. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Amanda Mushrow joins us now. She's parenting and lifestyle expert. And hey, if you have any teenagers, you're probably going through some stuff. And we're going to talk about that. When it's time for them to drive, we get into a whole mess of situations. Besides the nervousness, what time they're going to come home and how's that going to go? There are a lot of concerns. Amanda, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, we think that parenting gets easier the older our kids get, but I'm quickly learning that's not the truth. So let's stop telling moms that it gets easier, because yes, it doesn't.
No, well, we say it just so that you don't go too crazy. Right. Yeah. They get in the car and we get worried about that, but there's some surrounding circumstances. I mean, let's take a look at auto insurance. I know you want to talk about that. That's a big concern even for adults, but when you get into the teenage years, you may remember or you don't that there are some extra things going on.
Right. And when we look at our teen drivers and we compare them to other drivers in different age categories, unfortunately, our teens, they're not the best drivers. Not but really. You know what? It's not really their fault. A lot of it comes down to their inexperience.
Right.
And they just need more time practicing those basic skills. And they also need to learn the laws of the state that they're driving in.
Yes, that's true. Well, even adults, when they go to different states, they go crazy. I understand that. I mean, I was a teenager once. It's hard to believe, but I was. And I wasn't like 100% sure of everything. The more you do something, the more you can do it naturally. But before that, it's not that easy. There should be signs on the backs of cars saying there's a teenager in there. Because,
I have seen the, student driver.
Yeah,
I do appreciate
that,
those,
do
that they put on, we're kind of, they're learning. And,
yes,
there was a statistic that I found really, as a parent of a teen who's getting close to that driving age. So drivers between the ages of 15 and 20, they are 33% more likely to die in a car crash.
Whoa.
I mean, that is just so startling to hear as a parent. And, we want to think about ways that we can talk to our kids to help them be more prepared and also understand what are the rules in our house. So here's one that I plan to do with my kids. I have friends that have done it, and it's a parent and teen driver contract. And what that is that you set the rules in your house. Here's how I expect that you will behave every time you're behind the wheel. And here's who is allowed in your car, who is not allowed in your car. Here's your curfew. And it really just opens up that communication between you and your teen and setting the expectation.
Yes, that's a great idea, an excellent idea. Amanda, here's a problem that I have, and this is a generational thing. When I was driving, the only distraction I had was turning the channel on the radio, and there were knobs involved. That was about it. Now we got the cell phones and the texting. That scares the hell out of me, even when adults are involved, much less teenagers, because they don't get the ramifications of what they're doing.
Right. So when we talk to them about, here are some of the ways that teens are not safe when they're behind the wheel, distracted driving, that their cell phones, they're texting, they're calling, but also even just having a car full of friends. I mean, imagine what a distraction that is for a teen. Or they're blasting their music and they're singing really loud.
Yep.
Here's another one that I find interesting. Think about the shoes that you drive in. Listen, I love a good pair of heels, love a flip-flop. But when you're driving, those aren't great shoes, and those are things that teens aren't really thinking about. Or in the mornings when they're driving to school, they're rushing, or they're driving at night, and they're not used to driving at night. So making sure they are aware of their speed at all times, all things that we have to open up communication, talk to our teens, and make sure they know and understand. I always say, my son loves Mario Kart, thinks he's an excellent driver on a video game. That does not mean you're an excellent driver in real life, buddy.
Yeah, and we don't want to wait till your first accident, to find out those problems, certainly. I try to treat every car like it's got a teen in it or an elderly person. because you just don't know. I mean, it's, you know, that's the way it is. Let's move on to something that parents are quite aware of, but kids may not be, and that's auto insurance. How do you properly protect a teen in these situations, and what are the costs involved?
So in most states, auto insurance is a requirement. So when you have a teen who's ready to start driving, you're going to have to add them to your policy. Mm-hmm. Now, the rates are going to go up because your teen driver is inexperienced, and that's why the rates do go up. If this is any help, when they turn 25, the rates do go down. Yeah. There's a little light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But for parents who are doing their research now and looking for those savings now, I want them to head over to autoinsurance.com/teens. It is a great resource with different ways to save money on your insurance policy and adding your teens. And they even have perfect policy connectors. And these are experts who can look at your budget, talk to you about the coverage you want and you need. They can give you tips and tricks like bundling your insurance. They can talk to you about where you need more coverage, maybe where you can cut back, making it work for you and your family. And so, you know, and just having another expert kind of look at, this is the policy that will work really well for your family, so you can feel safe, you can feel like your family is covered and protected, and feel better about your kids getting behind the wheel of the car.
Yeah. That's the problem with insurance, is that you really need to have the full-blown insurance, especially for a teen, but that's also the time when you can't afford the full-blown. But my God, you need it.
Right, right. And so I like that the perfect policy connectors, mm-hmm. when I've talked to them, they have some great tips where, right. you know, maybe if you have multiple cars,
yeah.
you don't necessarily need the rental coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a place that you could possibly cut. You know, if one of the cars is getting fixed, it's in the shop, you can just use another car. So there's a place there that you can cut. Mm-hmm. However, when it comes to protecting your vehicle and, you know, with your kids, you don't want to cut, because those short-term savings, you could really pay for them in the end. They might not turn out to be savings in the end.
Yeah, and pay big time if you don't have the proper coverage. That's a lesson I think we all learn at some juncture in our lives. Yeah. All right.
Right, and it's just what works for you now and for your family, and, you know, looking at all of the different options that you have and sort of shopping around.
Okay, good. Well, it's good to know there's a place to go for that specific type of concern. And besides, the tips are also available, some great tips that you've had, Amanda, in order to make us adults feel a little more comfortable with what's going on. Okay, once again, where do we make these visitations?
Sure. Head over to autoinsurance.com/teens.
Great. Hey, you've been a treasure trove of information. It's hard to say, but that's what I meant. thank you so much for being with us today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace. Go forth. Go forth and multiply.